It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. Two people died today in an apparent murder-suicide at Northlake College in Irving. Around 11:45 this morning, the college issued an active shooter alert and instructed students and employees to barricade themselves into rooms. Professor Dennis Holmes was inside the college's performance hall talking with a colleague as the lockdown was issued.
All of a sudden, this girl come running down the hall screaming, "Everybody run, everybody run." And we just started closing doors because we go through these drills all the time. So we started closing doors.
Holmes turned off the lights and kept quiet. Irving police arrived on campus to assist college police in a building-by-building search. Student Jonkia Fleming was in class when the shooting happened.
I just took the lead and I was like, turn off the lights. Everybody go to the front. And then one of the students went and locked the door for us. Honestly, I wasn't scared. I mean, it's life. It happens.
KERA's Christina Martinez got to the Northlake campus shortly after Irving police announced two bodies were found.
Students and faculty were just trying to get off campus. There were lines of cars trying to get out of the parking lot, and also just groups of students walking off campus. Some of them were drenched because after the lockdown was lifted, police evacuated the campus, and so some of them were just waiting in the rain. The students that I talked to, some were in shock, others were scared, and others were just relieved that they didn't get caught up in the violence. There was a general state of confusion. Some students didn't know what had happened exactly. They heard rumblings on social media or just through friends. Others were a lot closer to the action and heard everything.
Neither the suspect nor the victim has been identified. The community college shooting came 2 days after one person was killed and three others injured in a stabbing attack at the University of Texas at Austin. Classes at Northlake are canceled for the rest of the day and tomorrow. The city of Dallas can now inspect the inside of rental properties, something that wasn't possible before code enforcement standards were tightened in September. Mayor Mike Rawlings hopes the policy means higher living standards for everyone, especially low-income families. Unless something dramatic happens, property owner Krish Kresh says 305 low-income families will lose their homes by early June. As a part of KERA's series, One Crisis Away, No Place to Go, Courtney Collins examines a conflict that's been brewing for months.
When some people think of business in West Dallas, they think of new developments, high-end apartments, the Trinity Groves restaurant scene. Krish Krish's company owns a different bundle of businesses. Storefronts that have been in the neighborhood a lot longer.
Car mechanics, tire sales, a hamburger stand, appliance repair, appliance sales.
Krish and his father are co-owners of HMK Limited. Back in 2004, they also bought hundreds of 70-year-old rental homes in West Dallas and Oak Cliff. He says back then, the buildings were in worse shape, and HMK put millions into improving them.
These homes were built without the oversight of building codes, without the supervision of building inspectors back in the 1940s.
He says since housing standards were strengthened last fall, getting the houses up to code isn't an option.
Not just impractical, but it's impossible. No matter how much money, you cannot throw enough money into these houses and make them compliant. You essentially would have to rebuild them.
Here's the problem. Renters are paying as little as $300 a month. Demolishing the houses and starting from scratch would price those families out of the new homes. He says that's why HMK is shuttering the rental houses. Krish and the city of Dallas agreed HMK wouldn't be fined for code violations through the end of the school year. Families have until June 3rd to leave. About 200 of them already have. Just this week, Krish collected 100 signatures from residents who remain. The petition asks a district judge for a 12 to 18-month extension so HMK can develop affordable housing in West Dallas. He's filed a request for an emergency hearing, which is scheduled for Friday.
I think that the families that remain are holding on to that last bit of hope that a miracle is going to occur and that they'll get to stay.
Mayor Mike Rawlings says the city's old regulations led to a lot of shabby housing.
The city code was an important discussion because we had so many poor families living in conditions that were unhealthy.
And that's the problem with weak housing standards, Rawlings says. Low-income families suffer.
It's not just for people with money, but for people that don't have money, and we've got to have clear standards. And I'm glad we did that. It's hard because policies have implications, and it creates change. But I think ultimately we need to raise the bar for families that live in poverty.
like the families in these houses.
I don't want anybody left behind.
Rawlings says early last year, the city reached out to several landlords. The hope? Find solutions before the code changed.
The lion's share of those landlords are working with us, and we're monitoring those homes, and we're trying to make government work for them. HMK decided not to participate in that plan and just ask his residents to leave.
Kreisch denies that. He has a copy of the commitment card he emailed to the city in January of 2016. It states that HMK commits to, quote, making the neighborhood where it owns properties better. Kreisch says he made changes to one part of the agreement, asking for city code inspections without notice at any time. He wanted inspections with written notice during normal business hours only.
If I could continue renting to these wonderful families, indefinitely, I would. This accelerated pace has been completely at the hands of the city. The city has decided that now is a time to redevelop this property.
And that's something the mayor denies. Rawlings says the goal is to simply get people into quality housing. And the suggestion that this is a land grab, that the city is moving people out to move in development, he dismisses that as a conspiracy theory.
That assumes that the city can push someone out. We can't, okay? And that we would want the city to roll over families that have grown up there.
And regardless of how this conflict started, when it began, and who's responsible for which part, it's those 305 families who are caught up in it. Both sides feel for them. Rawlings says it's the people who live there who make the neighborhood.
That's why we've got to make sure those families continue to stay there. It makes us richer.
So what worries me is that my community in West Dallas has no place to go.
No place to go, Kreisch says, and very little time to change that. Especially as West Dallas real estate shoots up and giant yellow construction cranes dot the skyline. Bill Hall with Habitat for Humanity has watched it all happen.
Up until about 5 years ago, we could easily buy lots for $5,000 to $10,000 to build a new home on them. Now they're $50,000 and $60,000. New homes are being built for $350,000 when the average rent a year ago was probably $500 to $600.
Coming up in One Crisis Away, No Place to Go, what happens to a neighborhood when the folks who built it can no longer afford it? Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Both sides in this dispute are still maneuvering. The latest discussion surrounds a letter of intent to buy more than 250 HMK properties. For more on that, check out our digital project at kera.org/onecrisisaway. Most of us imagine we could be more successful if we just had more time, more sleep, more money. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Rice University management expert Scott Sonnenschein about challenging ourselves to make do with less.
So much of success we think is tied to what we have, but to actually try and be proactive and seek out constraints. Now, when we're chasing, that would be the exact opposite thing we would want to think about doing because, well, that means we're going to accomplish less. But what I find in my work is when we create artificial limits, like go to your boss and say, you know what? I want to try and deliver this project for 10% less budget than you've given me, or give me one less person, or let me do it a week earlier. A lot of people would have this really visceral reaction and they would say, why would I ever want to do that? That's just crazy. But what happens is when people do that, they realize that one, they can get the job done, but two, they can get the job done better because what research shows is when we embrace constraints, we give ourselves this license to think about resources in non-conventional ways.
Scott Sonnenschein is the author of Stretch, Unlock the Power of Less and Achieve More Than You Ever Imagined. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. In the forecast, mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 54. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 74 and low of 54. Right now it's 68 degrees in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.